like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Last night was a historic night in baseball. Not for the Rockies necessarily. The Rockies won, so that was cool. And we were talking about some historic stuff last week, and it was negative. But there was a historic night last night for the Yankees, for their pitcher, Domingo Herman. Here it is. He made a little bit of history last night.
Grounded to third. Donaldson has it. There it is! Perfection for Domingo Herman!
Angel, I watched the Rockies-Dodgers game, and Tanner, like I said, I don't watch baseball. I couldn't get enough, so I switched over to MLB Network because I saw that this was going on, so I wanted to watch the end of this. And I thought it was weird, though. I thought we weren't supposed to talk about the no-no, about the perfect game. I thought we weren't supposed to do that while it was happening. The broadcasters certainly were, but the A's are so bad that whenever they were on defense, because it was on MLB Network, so they're supposed to be doing their post-game show at that point, so they're only carrying the live portion of the game when Herman is actually pitching. And then whenever the Yankees were on offense, they just went and started doing highlights. So I thought they were going to actually carry the rest of the game, because you'll see that like on NBA TV bonus coverage or whatever. But they seriously just went there because it was 8-0. And so they're like, let's just go away when the Yankees are up, and then we'll come back when Domingo is pitching again. So I thought that was interesting, but a masterful performance. But I thought that was the rule. We don't talk about it while it's going on. But all of the commentators were like, he's 2 outs away. He's 3 outs away. And they talked about it. Didn't matter. He was in his element last night and found a way to do it. He's had a weird season. He had a suspension. He's had a sub-500 record. Heading into last night's game, he looked perfect. That just goes to show you, sometimes a player can just be so in that element, so in the groove. And, of course, this game was in Oakland, and the Oakland fans just roar. I thought it was in New York for a second. I was like, oh, crowd is really going crazy here. So congratulations to him. He looked like there was no way it wasn't going to happen. He was so poised. That was fun to see. Last night we had the NHL draft. Kyle Fredrickson is going to give us more on what the Avs did, but the Blackhawks didn't shock the world. They made the obvious draft pick last night by selecting this guy.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
Connor Bedard, 17 years old. Isn't that, when we talk in football players, they're most of the time they're in their what? Their 20s at least? Not a lot of 19-year-olds. Basketball, you'll get to the 19-year-olds once in a while. But 17 years old. Absolutely insane. Putting a lot of trust. He's supposed to be a generational talent coming up. And everything we've seen, probably so. So Chicago got their guy. Good for them. A little NFL news here. And this is just tying into what we're talking about with Bruce Brown. Angel's favorite tight end that he can't get enough of. Travis Kelce for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was on a podcast earlier in the week, or maybe it was his podcast. He said, when I saw Tyreek go and get $30 million a year, in the back of my head, I was like, man, that's 2 to 3 times what I'm making right now. I'm like, the free market looks like fun until you go somewhere and you don't win. I love winning. I love the situation I'm in. Kelce, at the age of 33, it has a base salary of $11.25 million. This upcoming season, he's ranked 52nd among NFL players, according to the roster management system. He's under contract through the 2025 season. His average annual salary will come out to be $14.3 million. So there's something for Bruce Brown to look at, I guess. You know, if you can make decent money, but still win a lot. You can probably, Travis Kelce's going to get to the point when he retires, he's going to have his choice of whatever the hell he wants to do to make money. He could probably go be a color commentator on TV. He could continue doing his podcast. He has a career outside of football. Not everybody has that. So that's something to think about, too. For Travis Kelce, it's easier to say that, okay, I'll take less money. But the dude is very popular. Love him or hate him, he's very popular. He's going to go on and make money no matter what he does when he decides to call it good in his career. But how, I wanted to get your thoughts, throwing a, not really shade at Tyreek, but just saying, dude, the guy is making triple what I'm making, but I would rather stay here and compete and win Super Bowls. I think that all players are just cut from a different cloth as far as what their goals are when they get to be a professional athlete.
Yeah, and I mean, I think every player is different in terms of what motivates them, how they get their motivation. Talking with just football and receivers, specifically with Tyreek, there was a sense that he wanted to prove himself outside of Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, he was going to get however much money he wanted because he was one of, if not still, the best wide receiver in the league. So he's going to demand a lot. And he wanted to go out and prove himself without Patrick Mahomes. Kind of how Brady did it with Belichick. I can still be a top wide receiver without this Patrick Mahomes guy who's still really good. I really love him, but I can be my own guy, and he went out and did that.
What I think's interesting is both sides actually proved they could succeed without the other. Because
yep.
Kansas City obviously went on to win a Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes spread the ball out a lot. Tyreek Hill had a really good year.
Career year.
In Miami. So I think both sides basically said, yeah, they're that good. I mean, they're that good. The Chiefs are that good of a team.
Who had more production versus Hill and Kelce, and who depends more on Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, Kelce definitely, but he has a great rapport with him.
Right.
They have a good friendship and a really good rapport where they know what the other one's thinking. So they depend on each other in that regard. Could Travis Kelce go somewhere else and be the tight end? Maybe. I don't think he has as good a shot as Tyreek Hill did of leaving the Chiefs and going on to be still a top-tier wide receiver. Kelce would still be a top tight end.
I don't know any other quarterback that uses their tight end as much as Mahomes does.
Those guys, though, I'm telling you, they have some kind of connection there. There's just some kind of radio waves going between their brains because you see it. When Patrick's in trouble, Kelce immediately knows to break off of a route and start running towards him or something like that. Or if Kelce sees something in the middle of a play, Mahomes sees it too and it hits him. So I really enjoy their connection. I hate seeing it, but I enjoy it. But Tyreek Hill, again, he's a top-tier guy. His speed alone makes him a ridiculous talent. So it was one of those things. But this goes back to our Bruce Brown conversation, Angel. What's more important to you as a player? You know, and some players get both. Plenty of players. Tyreek, if Miami goes on to the playoffs and they're successful, you would say, well, he got both. They're a winning team. They're relevant. They're a contender, and he's making the top dollar. Not everybody gets that luxury, especially if you're in Kansas City. If you want to try to do what the Patriots did, which I think the Chiefs want to do that. They want to be the big dynasty. They're not a dynasty right now. They've just got two under this group. So I think that in order to do that, obviously you're going to have guys that buy in, that say, we understand that Mahomes is the money guy. And the rest of us are going to get the scraps. But we might have history by the end of all of this. It's not like they're not getting paid. They're still making good money. But that is a realistic debate that a lot of people just like to put away and go, well, you shouldn't be selfish. Sacrifice the money and win titles. Yeah, but sometimes there's not a lot to show for it other than the ring because you could have got double what you – maybe even triple. Like Travis Kelce said, He's got a base salary of 11. He'll be at 14 at some point. I don't know what the max is for tight ends. Can you get up to 20? You probably can. He's going to be leaving a lot of money on the table. Now, Gronk did that, but we talked about Gronk utilized his endorsements. Guys just that are good at figuring out ways to make money can do those kind of things. There are other guys that are like, I need to make the most of this body that I have in the NFL because I'm going to retire at the end of this. I'm not going to go be, I'm not a TV guy. I'm not a radio guy. I'm not going to go find a career past the NFL.
Most right now is Darren Waller. He's making about $17 million a year.
So for Kelce, it's like, okay, you're talking the difference. Right now you're taking the,
Kelce's at 14.3.
He'll be at 14. He's under contract through the 25 season. This upcoming season, he'll have 11.2. But, yeah, he's eventually going to be at 14. So you're talking the difference of $3 million. It's not that big of a difference. 16 minutes after the hour. Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette will rejoin the program, talk about what the Avs did in that first round. And they're already working in the second round as it's happening right now. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 19 minutes after 12 o'clock. Great to get this guy back on the show. Kyle Fredrickson from the Denver Gazette was on with us yesterday as we talked about what the Avs might do. Will they keep those picks, specifically those two first-rounders? Will they package them, try to move around, get a different player, move up, whatever? But they did, in fact, keep those picks. Kyle, thank you so much, man. I know you're a busy man, so we appreciate you breaking away a bit to talk to us about what the Avs did last night and what the rest of the day is looking like for Colorado.
Yeah, it's been a pretty eventful draft for a team that's it's been a little light on capital in recent years and players that they've developed through the draft. So yeah, it's good to see them making some moves here to stay where they're at and build their farm system a little bit.
What did you make of the Avs standing pat with those first two picks of theirs anyway, and going with Kalen Richie and then Mikhail Guliyevev? I'm going to have a tough time with that one, but we'll keep working on it. What did you make of those draft picks?
Yeah, to me, it was reflective of sort of how the whole first round went. This felt like a draft where there was a lot of high-end talent and teams that were really happy with the players that were sort of falling to their place, to maybe say. And in this case, you know, I haven't done a ton of research on Kalen Richie and Mikhail Guliyev, I think is how you pronounce that.
You sound better than me, my man.
Yeah, but in sort of reading some of the scouting reports and others and people who are really locked into this amateur hockey world, both picks make a lot of sense. And starting with Kalen Richie, I mean, anytime you can get a center at his size, a guy who's a proven scorer, even when he's injured, he was a top 10 prospect before he had a shoulder issue last season, played through it and still averaged a point per game. But that sort of setback allowed the Avs to be in a position to get a player with an incredibly high ceiling. And on that front, the Avs like what they got. And then also with their second pick in the first round, remember that was gifted to the Avalanche essentially in that Alex Newhook trade. They get a small defenseman that a lot of people seem to even be comparing to Cale Makar just in terms of his play style. Now, no one can do what Cale Makar does as what makes him so special, but Mikhail is an undersized Russian defenseman with elite offensive talent, a guy who, idolizes Makar. That was sort of the word out of his post-draft interview out there in Nashville, just following some of the Twitter reports from home. So, to me, it feels like a strong draft. It's really hard to know in the immediate aftermath. I'm not a huge fan of draft grades because it's basically just a reflection of our opinions based on nothing.
Yeah.
But, on the surface, certainly it seems like the Avs decided to go with the best player available. I don't know that a lot of people thought, hey, they need a first-round defenseman, but this shows to me that Chris McFarland just sort of assessed all the players and all the prospects and thought, hey, this is a very good use of a first-round pick, a guy who we could develop, into a real NHLer in maybe just a few seasons.
Well, and Kyle, when you look at Kalen Richie specifically, hearing about that shoulder injury kind of reminds me, I know two different sports, whatever, but it reminds me of the Michael Porter Jr. thing, because a lot of the reports and the scouting reports I was hearing were that, hey, if he didn't get that injury, maybe he goes a lot higher, maybe even top 15, top 10. So if you're the Avs, you kind of feel like you got a really good player. Now you just obviously hope that that's not a big-time concern with the injury.
Yeah, certainly. But, you know, it's, you know, I mentioned the size thing. He's, you know, 6'2" and sure. 185 pounds. You know, those guys don't grow on trees. And if you feel like he's got sort of that elite element to his game, they just need to kind of build a little bit onto him. Not unlike Michael Porter Jr., you know, we'll see what the ceiling is there. But more than anything, it just gives the Avs some players to really feel like they can, you know, develop and kind of grow in that farm system just down the road in Loveland. Such a valuable tool for this team, you know, especially since they were lacking in that department.
Well, I think that'll be cool, too, as you said, with Loveland being in a, kind of our neck of the woods. Some of these names, these are guys you'll be seeing, you'll learn a lot from before they take that next step.
Yeah, certainly. You know, and even for my sake, it'll be worth going down there. They will be having a new coach in Loveland, Greg Cronin. You know, the Avs have done such a good job over the years of developing players. He got the head coaching job for the Anaheim Ducks, so should be fun when those two match up. Being that Jared Bednar has spoke glowingly about him. But, yeah, certainly some good storylines to follow. And even right now, I think the Avs are, you know, two picks away or one pick away from making their last selection of the seventh round here. So we're getting pretty close.
Yeah, so we're busting through it. As you said, we're going on throughout the day with this with the rest of the NHL draft. How is the rest of it looking to you? I mean, again, it's hard, like you said, it's hard to assess, especially the deeper you get into these rounds. You're like, there's a position of need. There's a guy they can work on, whatever. But kind of what's your view as far as what the rest of the day has yielded for the Avs?
Yeah, so the Avs have picked twice already in the fifth and sixth rounds here. Both defensemen, which to me shows that they want to continue to develop that position, you know, at this later stage in the draft. Maybe you're not taking just the best available player after so many guys have gone. You want to fill needs. You want to find guys that maybe have been overlooked. And for the Avs, you know, one of those guys is another Russian defenseman, Nikita Ishmyndnikov, you know, another tongue twister for us here. But he's a bit of a change of pace. The Avs are known for having some of the smaller size defensemen who are super skilled. This guy's 6'3", 194, and still scored 11 goals in the Russian Junior League last year, and I think about 41 games. So a decent clip, you know, for a defenseman. Another guy that they want to develop. And, you know, one of maybe the better stories of this draft is the Avs' sixth-round pick, a guy named Jeremy Hanzel, who plays in the WHL out of Seattle. He's actually been passed over twice in this process of being, you know, available to be drafted, and teams haven't picked him. But here he is, you know, after a couple of years of kind of building his reputation. He was a key piece of a team that got to the WHL title game this season. And here he is getting his chance to do something with the Avalanche. So, you know, a 20-year-old who's around a bunch of 18- and 17-year-olds right now who are getting drafted, good for him, you know, easy to root for.
Yeah, this draft is so interesting in that regard too, Kyle, because these are a lot of guys that you expect to come on and eventually make a quick impact, but they're 17 years old. In the NBA, you know, you see some 19-year-olds, NFL typically coming in their 20s. This one's always kind of cool because you're relying a lot on some very young dudes.
You are, and it's sort of really projecting further out in the future than other pro sports drafts do, you know, and I mentioned the Russian defenseman that the Avs took late in the first round. I think he's signed to play in the KHL in Russia for another couple of seasons. So, you know, the Avalanche don't, you know, have the opportunity to even have this guy around, you know, for a few years. But when you're that level of talented and teams trust, you know, their eyes and what they see and know that they need to be restocking their cupboard, you know, year after year, you're willing to take a shot on these guys. But at the same time, you know, just to be honest, it makes the draft a little less exciting than maybe the NFL or NBA, because those are just a lot of college guys that we also watch as sports fans and get to know, and we know the programs well. You know, as opposed to me, like, Googling an obscure Russian hockey league and figuring out how to pronounce this guy's name. It's still a cool moment for these guys, and not to take away from it, but I think that's why this isn't as maybe, you know, enjoyed by the sports world as some other drafts.
Yeah, I think that's a great point by you, and you see that on the baseball side, too. So on that note, I'll say, hey, this is for my listeners' sake, but really, Kyle, it's for me to know. For a guy like Richie and you know, McKay Hale, is that how we're saying it? For those two guys, What is the realistic possibility of getting to see them in Ball Arena in a Avs uniform next season? I mean, is there that realistic chance that we're going to see them make somewhat of an impact?
I think anytime you're a first-round pick, that needs to be an option. It needs to be on the table because you need to be picking a guy that you see immediately impacting your team, right? And, you know, there's a few situations where that's not the case. The Flyers took a Russian player who like the Avalanche defenseman that they got from Russia. You know, he has a contract. They can't get him in-house, and that's a guy who's a top 10 pick. So, you know, there are scenarios where that plays out. But for guys like Richie, you know, I would also say it's not a disappointment if he does spend the whole year in the AHL really developing and learning the game better, learning the Avs system. It might be a situation where the Avs, you know, bring him up for one or two games just to sort of, you know, get him a little bit of experience. We saw that last year with Oscar Olsson, and that did take, you know, pretty late into the year, I believe, to when he got that chance. But it would really take a spectacular performance of just consistent domination at that AHL level for that to happen. And with Richie, yes, he's a first-round talent, but in reading the scouting reports and everything about him, especially coming off of that surgery, I think the realistic expectation is that he spends this year in the AHL. You know, if he forces the Avs' hand, then great. You know, let's see what he can do in that NHL uniform. But they shouldn't be trying to rush him, especially when right now the Avalanche are wheeling and dealing in the trade market, and I think they're not done after the draft and free agency. I expect them to add one or two more big name players. It takes pressure off the organization to feel like they have to get these guys in right away.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, that kind of leads me to my next question then. I'm kind of asking an obvious question today on our tight-knit brewing poll question. Are the Avalanche still in a championship window? And I guess my question is, Kyle, are they in an obvious championship window? I think we can all agree with the you know, the top guys with the McKinnons and McCars and Rantanen, and like they have that talent. Are they in that obvious championship window that, say, maybe, you know, maybe some would say the Nuggets are in that pretty obvious championship window right now?
I think so. I think fully healthy, even without Gabe Landeskog for this upcoming season, you have to say that this team is based on their roster and the expectations, right? I mean, Vegas has them as the odds-on favorite preseason to win the title, and I think, you know, that isn't a crystal ball or it isn't going to predict it exactly, but it speaks to just sort of the respect that this team garners from across the league. And you know, I think as Avalanche fans, you know, people should be comforted by how aggressive this team has been to fix some of their issues up the middle, right? I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but this could have been a team that kind of sat back and saw what happened in the draft and looked at who was going to be available to start a free agency. But instead, McFarland was aggressive. He made two trades that people really didn't see coming to bolster up the middle and Ryan Johansson and Ross Colton. So, you know, those moves alone show me that this is a team that isn't afraid to go out and make quick changes to address big needs. And they did it right away. They weren't sitting on their hands waiting to see what was going to happen. So, you know, a lot of time now between now and the end of next season, and then we'll kind of revisit that conversation. But I certainly think that the Avs feel like they're right there. You know, they should win their division again. If they're healthy, they should be able to make a deep run. You know, and even after last season, I don't think that confidence has wavered.
Well, and I think that's a great point with the trades and the pickups of Johansson and Colton. That gave you maybe a little more freedom, as you mentioned earlier, a little more ease in your brain, so to speak, to say, okay, we can draft guys that might not make that immediate impact, but we see them as being some big-time players down the road.
Yeah, certainly. And this is a team that never panics, right? It's like every trade they make, they always seem like they're the winner of it immediately, and you know, we'll grade these things down the line. But it's kind of been a trademark under Sakic of a team that understands, you know, what its identity is. It's not, you know, willing to risk the farm to try to win right away. It's, you know, they did make some really big moves with Lehkonen and Kadri and others before that cup run. But yeah, they also have to trust in their development as well, that they're going to have guys that they can bring in that are first-round talent that are going to pan out. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, and Alex Newhook is a perfect example of that, you know, 16 overall. And after 3 years in Colorado, the team felt it had seen enough and decided to move on. And, you know, being quick to move off from a guy, I think, is as important as finding the right guy sometimes.
Kyle, my man, appreciate you. I know you're knee-deep in draft coverage, too, so we'll let you get back at it as we're wrapping up the NHL draft. Just appreciate the work you're putting into this. And it is. This is a more difficult draft to cover, I think, even if you are a beat writer and you are constantly in the know with the Avs, because you got to learn about so many players that aren't easy to learn about, as you said earlier. So, man, mad respect for what you do every single day.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, man. Kyle Fredrickson, Denver Gazette. And so it sounds like those moves are obviously going to be guys that, you know, are Colorado Eagles guys for a little bit, but might get their opportunity at some point throughout the course of the season to come in and make their presence felt. 33 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, Jamal Murray was on a podcast yesterday of some sort, and or a video podcast, video cast, vodcast, is that what it's called? And he had some interesting things to say about Bruce Brown. What did he say? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Everybody's playing for each other, and you know, now that we've won, everybody's succeeding. You know, we always talk about if once we win, you know, everybody will eat, everybody gets taken care of. So we're starting to see that with like Bruce and his extension, you know. Mm-hmm. So congrats to him.
What was he congratulating him for? Jamal Murray was on some kind of, what was this? What was this podcast he was on? Doesn't really matter. But he was talking about, you know, everybody's going to eat. When we win, everybody's going to eat. So with Bruce Brown, congrats to him on the extension. Is that just Jamal saying he knows he's going to get one? Because an extension, Angel, if I, help me out here. If the Lakers or the Mavericks go sign Bruce Brown, that's not an extension.
Correct.
That's a free agency signing. The only team he can extend with, now again, bear with me, is the team that he's currently with.
Yes, an extension in sports terms, in contract terms, means we are extending your current contract.
Continuation.
Yes.
So, what does Jamal know? Does Jamal Murray know something we don't? Or did he misspeak? Did he think, did he say extension when he meant, when he basically meant he's going to get something coming his way? Is that what he meant? Or do you think he knows? Like, seriously, go full on conspiracy mode here.
I don't, you wouldn't use the word extension.
Like just for
unless
an accident.
You knew it was an extension.
So he's staying with Denver. He's going to stay with Denver.
According to Jamal Murray.
You don't just, like, that's not just a, like, if you say, hey, Brady, I got a new job.
No, it's, in this sense, an extension refers to only one specific mm-hmm. thing, and that is Bruce Brown continuing to play with the Denver Nuggets.
If you came to me and said, Brady, I got a new job at a different radio station, first off, I would cry and lock you in your office and not let you out. Oh. Might be illegal, but it doesn't matter. We're fighting for you.
I can't produce if I'm in my office, so you'd have to lock me in this room.
I'd lock you in that room. Yeah. So, but if you came to me and said, hey, new radio station extended my contract with them, and I'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. You're
don't
here.
Don't have a current contract.
Right. So that means, okay, Jamal Murray is from Canada.
This was on a French podcast.
So maybe the word
they
extends.
They do speak French in some provinces of Canada.
Maybe the word extend means resign
we
in
didn't
France.
Say it in a French word.
Maybe he meant it that way. Is that, can we read in between the lines there? Did he just think it has different meaning?
Well, it's interesting because this interview came out, it's obviously in English, but there are French subtitles. So you could take it as what did the subtitles say versus what words actually came out of Jamal's mouth in English were Bruce Brown, congrats.
What did the subtitles say?
It's all French. I don't know what
it says. Oh, okay. You should just, yeah.
So this could have been the video came out with just the subtitles and we just translated it.
Oh.
But this is actually, as you heard,
yes, you
Jamal
heard him
actually speaking.
He actually said that. And again, you don't just say that, you know. Congratulations to my friend who got an extension with a new job. What? That doesn't make any sense. Now, again, you can kind of misspeak, I guess. That is a word. I mean, in the context of how he was saying it, he could have accidentally just said, you know, good for him on the extension, meaning his contract is going to be extended, so like he's going to have a longer contract. I don't know. Am I looking too much into it? Or do you seriously think Jamal knows something? She said congrats to him. Is that just more of him knowing that something is coming down the wire?
Everybody's playing for each other, and you know, now that we've won, everybody's succeeding. You know, we always talk about once we win, you know, everybody will eat, everybody gets taken care of. So we're starting to see that with like Bruce and his extension. You know, mm-hmm. So congrats to him.
A lot of whees.
We're starting to see that with Bruce and his extension. So congrats to him. Mm-hmm. Did he spill the beans? Here's my other question. If the Nuggets do in fact extend Bruce Brown, do the Nuggets get in trouble because you're not supposed to have this done yet? You're not supposed to know.
Well, I mean,
or is this just a Jamal? You could just
I
say,
guess
oh,
in reality
Jamal.
You could have a piece of paper that may or may not have numbers and or contract details sitting on a desk in a random room. And if Bruce just walks in there with a pen and just happens to write something down, you know, I don't know. Obviously, you can't do it until tomorrow, or midnight, I guess, in less than 12 hours from now.
When we know that everyone knows, it's common knowledge, it's there, that he opted out of his player option. So it is conventional wisdom to think that his contract will be a lengthy one. So maybe Jamal meant extension, like I'm extending the ruler. I don't know. I'm just trying to say, because I'm like, don't get my hopes up, because what I heard there tells me that Bruce Brown has extended his contract and will be a Denver Nugget next season. But you can't do that, right? He can't extend his contract. He can only sign 1 year with the Nuggets. So it wouldn't be an extension, would it? I guess.
Well, it's the two-year thing, right?
Yeah.
It's we can offer you this year.
And then that
and
next,
then next year.
Year
we can for sure offer you more. We just can't tell you that we can offer you more. Like, we can't put in the contract that we are for sure going to offer you this, but hey, under the table handshake, we're going to offer you $13 million next year.
Yeah. I that stuff is very complex to me, because why can't you just sign him for the year and then give him a 5-year deal after that? Why can't you just do that?
Because he has a player option.
But he declined it.
Right.
So now he's a free agent. So why can't you just say, we can only afford 7.8 right now, but the 3 years after that, here's the contract. It shows that it's 12.4, 12.8, 13. Why can't they just do that? Is that because of they don't know what the luxury tax is going to be and all that stuff?
The cap always.
Because we're in that window of a year where they're going to move it, so you can't make a long-term move necessarily. But another team can, because they have the room to do it, I guess. He said Chris Tanner might say one of these days, I got re-signed. What would one devolve from that?
You re-signed?
Yeah.
It means you
re-upped.
Re-upped on your contract.
You're sticking with the team you're with.
Meaning, in just basic terms, I re-signed a contract. That means I'm agreeing to the same contract again. Nothing's changed. Or something may have changed.
Yeah.
But
money,
the majority
more
of the contract is the same.
Yeah.
An extension would be, we're extending your current contract with a lot of the same terms, but you're going to be getting more money or whatever.
So here's my question. Do we get our hopes up?
Not yet.
So that doesn't do it for you to get your hopes up?
No. Well, I mean, I've also seen Bruce has been trolling Nuggets fans on Instagram. A couple days ago, he posted a picture wearing Jason Tatum brand shoes.
Yeah.
And everyone was freaking out, like, oh my God, he's in Boston. He's wearing these shoes. Ignoring the fact that he's wearing the Denver Nuggets championship T-shirt, and I think yesterday he posted another picture with that same shirt. So, relax. I think Bruce is just messing with us.
What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me he stays.
Mine's. Last week I would have said my gut's telling me he's probably gone. So here's what we know. We got the parade. We got Michael Malone saying, Bruce Brown, Bruce, ain't going anywhere. We got Bruce saying, one more year? One more year? But we also got Bruce saying, I'm about to get paid. We got Bruce.
He would be getting paid.
You're right. You're not wrong. He would be getting paid. But from what that stated, maybe that was like, I'm about to get a big contract. I'm about to double up on what I just did. We know the Dallas Mavericks are interested in him and can offer him 12.4, probably a lengthy contract. We know the Lakers can offer pretty much the same thing because they're in the news now. We know that he was in a practice gym wearing Tatum sneakers, but a Denver Nuggets championship t-shirt. We know Jamal Murray went on a podcast and said congrats to him on his extension. I'm just kind of trying to be, you know, the detective here, a little Sherlock Holmes, and you're my Watson, Angel. From those clues, it would lead me to be uncertain.
That's not an answer we can give to Scotland Yard there, Mr. Holmes.
It's not. Okay, let's just think of the positives and then the things that lead us to believe he's re-signing and the things that lead us to believe that he's not. I don't think the wearing the championship shirt is either or, because hell yeah, you want to go around and say, I just want an NBA champion.
That's the only shirt he owns.
Maybe. But I've got championship shirts and Nuggets ain't signing me. I've been wearing them like crazy. My wife bought me like 10 of them. Not the same one, but just different variations for my birthday. And so I've been wearing the hell out of them. So with Bruce Brown just wearing it, that doesn't do anything. He loves the Nuggets. We know that. He wants to say, hey, I won the title. The Tatum sneakers, that doesn't do anything either. None of that leads me one way or the other. So take
He's
that out.
From Boston.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for me one way or the other. Take that one out. Michael Malone saying he ain't going anywhere under the influence of a few beers or so. And then Bruce Brown saying one more year. Kind of makes me think. Maybe that is a real sign, because then obviously Malone has had conversations and they have hinted at that. The Jamal Murray podcast is the biggie. That's the one that makes me think, congrats on the contract extension. And Jamal and Malone are close. And Malone and Calvin Booth are fairly close.
Well, and it's the way he was talking, like, we always said everyone was going to eat, and we heard that throughout the regular season. Like, if one person eats, everyone eats. I don't think you would say that about a teammate if he wasn't going to be on your team.
Right? I would think so.
You wouldn't say, we're going to eat. You would say, yeah, like, we always said that, but, you know, a guy like Bruce, he's going to get his. Specifying him as an individual, not we, and congrats, Bruce. Extension.
So the podcast there, dear Watson, is the most is the strongest clue we have.
Yes.
The rest of it,
up to interpretation.
Yes, but that is some evidence. That leads me to think that, yes, Bruce Brown has somehow hinted to someone out there that he is signing a one-year deal with the Nuggets, with either a two-year deal or with the idea that he signs a long-term deal.
Is it safe to assume they've already had this conversation
months ago? I think it's, or even weeks ago. But I think it's safe to assume that Bruce Brown's going to be a Denver Nugget again. That's where I'm going. I'm saying it. Bruce Brown will be playing for the Denver Nuggets next season. John, yes. Yeah. Susan and Cheryl, look at that. They just love it. They're very excited about that. John says, I don't think Bruce wants to play with Kyrie in Dallas.
Apparently Kyrie wants to go to Phoenix.
Yeah, good. Go.
Please go.
Go to Phoenix. Yes. Do that. You know what? Better yet, go to Golden State. Go for it. Let's just put all these guys that don't make any sense while we're just busy running it back. 12:49 the time. I want to get into this conversation. We talked a little bit about the prep scene, about multiple sports and all that. So Angel and I are going to break into that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Starting to think Thursdays are my favorite days when you go to Cable's Pub and Grill, because it's Smothered Burrito Day. And I just tried my first smothered burrito from Cables like a month ago. And it is, I'm always like a hamburger guy and wings and pizza. But I couldn't help it. I tried it, and man, it's my go-to there. I love the smothered burrito for $10.99 and house margaritas for just $4 at Cables Pub and Grill. That's where my friends meet. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. John wants to know, who would be the team in the Eastern Conference that are in competition for Bruce's services? That I guess it just depends. Like, the contract is 12.4 likely. That's what we're hearing is what teams that are serious about him could offer him. So you have to say, who's a team that needs maybe a piece to help them over the hump? Is that Boston? Is it the Knicks? Is it the Miami Heat?
What about a Chicago?
And this is without having all the depth charts in front of me and their contracts.
We know that Lonzo may not be playing.
Yeah, might be done. How about that? So you got Patrick Beverly on the Bulls. It's Caruso, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic. I've been struggling with names today. Who's on their bench? Kobe White, Patrick Williams. Maybe
we were talking. What kind of position player does Bruce see himself?
Is he
as
a starter? Or is he a sixth man?
I think he works better as a sixth man.
What's 12.4 million say? Does that say you're a starter? Or does that say you're a sixth man? Probably still says you're a sixth man. You know, 12.4 is a nice jump for a guy like Bruce Brown. But it's not what we're seeing. No, it's not what we're seeing with starter money. I mean, you could just take the Nuggets situation alone and look at who's being paid what, and you can tell right off the bat who's a starter and who's not. Obviously, we know Joker's a lot. Murray, Porter, Gordon's making $21 million. So Bruce Brown isn't there. He's not a starter, so he's probably a sixth man. So basically, you have to ask which team needs a really, really good player coming off the bench, because I just don't see 12.4 as being a guy that you're saying he's our new featured dude.
What team's going to offer him money to be their starter and they're not going to be contending?
Right. And are you throwing money away at that point? You know, is Bruce Brown a starter type guy? I don't know. I'm going to say no. He was really good coming off the bench. Final hour of the whole show coming up next. Stay tuned.